So what are you trying to do over there? Invent news?
Invent news?
Well, to say that someone invented news is generally thought of as a career-ending pejorative, really. It's kind of an insult to anyone in journalism except Don Hewitt, who died yesterday at the age of 86. The CBS legend, years before creating the news magazine 60 Minutes, invented, it can be accurately said, television news itself. He invented the news. Listen to him here tell the story of how, as a young reporter working for the Acme News Film Company, he went over to the CBS studios, then at Grand Central Terminal in Manhattan in 1947, and got a flash of insight as to what he wanted to do in his life that would change the world.
Now, you got to realize, I was a kid who other kids went to the movies, and they either wanted to be Tom Mix the cowboy or they wanted to be Tarzan. I wanted to be either Hildy Johns on the front page or a guy named Julian Marsh, who was the producer in a musical called 42nd Street. And I never knew which one I wanted to be. And I walked into the CBS studio, and there were lights and cameras and stagehands and makeup artists and booms. And I looked around and I said, oh, my God, I can be both of them. In television, you can be the reporter and the producer. So I went back to Acme News Pictures, where I was working, and I said, I'm leaving. And they said, for what? And I said, television. And my boss said, that's a fad. That won't last. Well, I always figured he was half right. It is a fad, but it lasted. It's the longest lasting fad in history.
And Don Hewitt began it all, remembered this morning by our next guest, Jock Steinberg, New York Times reporter who for years covered the television beat, and Jeff Gralnick, longtime television journalist, former colleague of mine, friend and former colleague of Don Hewitt at CBS. Jeff, Don Hewitt could tell a story, and telling a story was what his entire career was all about, right?
Yeah, John, it was, and good morning. Everybody looks at television now and takes it for granted. In 1959, or when Don started, when I started, or in 1948 when Don started, I mean, television was just a great experiment, and you made it up as you went along. And Don set about making it up. He just invented the form as he went. Each day was different. Each day was exciting. Each day, he tried to figure out how to do something different. First on Douglas Edwards with the news, which was 15 minutes long, and then on the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite, which was 30 minutes long.
Which he created. I mean, a former colleague of Don's, Ben Blank, used to tell me the story. He was also at ABC for a while, about how he and Hewitt would actually figure out the graphics for the news. They'd go down to a hardware store, and they were doing some sort of space story, and they bought a globe, and they created a little diorama set and shot it with the globe going around and a little fake sort of rocket ship. I mean, they were doing it by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, and the beauty of those stories is they're all true. I mean, yeah. Ben Blank was another one of the early geniuses. But what was so good about those days is there were no rules. You tried it. If it didn't work, you went and tried something else. And Don was never satisfied with what was on television. And one day the stock market had a record day. 5 million shares. 5 million shares were traded on one day. And
wow.
Don tried to figure out how to put a big enough arrow on the screen to demonstrate what had happened. You know, one day the weather was really bad in Chicago, and we switched. We did live from Chicago into Douglas Edwards with the news. I mean, that was magic in 1959.
I mean, Don Hewitt figured out how to do pictures and narration at the same time. People don't even remember that back in the early days that wasn't possible. Jacques Steinberg, New York Times reporter who covered television, how did Don Hewitt create the news and create the rules of television news and also break them?
I mean, it's amazing. You guys both worked in the business. You know, for those of us who are outsiders, viewers, he was largely unknown to us, but we see his influence every day, several times a day, in so many shows beyond 60 Minutes. I loved one story he told me was how he created. Do you guys call it the lower third, the text that goes on the screen, mm-hmm. at the bottom of the screen, that he had been at a restaurant in Chicago during the Democratic National Convention in 1952, and the waitress came over and said, at a diner, what will you have? And he said, I'll have the whole menu. And she said, you can't have everything on the menu. He said, no, I want the menu. It was a sort of a pegboard menu on the wall that he imagined he could use to use text at the bottom of the screen.
And
he got it, too. And that gave birth to what we now see.
That's so interesting to me, too.
Talk about 60 Minutes and this idea of sort of mini documentaries in prime time. A show that might have a hard-hitting interview followed by a profile of an entertainer, something we totally take for granted on so many shows, and yet Don created it.
I was going to say that as a younger person and a consumer of the news, that when I look at 60 Minutes, I see what so many journalists aspire to, whereas he might have tried to break the standard. He also created the gold standard of investigative journalism, long-form pieces where you really have a chance to, you know, dig in there.
And it hadn't been done before. 2020, primetime live, Dateline, and then unfortunately, Access Hollywood, Entertainment Tonight, you know, sort of taking unfortunately parts of what Don hoped for. The beauty of Don was that you could get it all on 60
right.
Minutes. Sometimes it doesn't work when you just break off a piece of it.
Well, Jeff Gralnick, leave us with this, won't you? He thought he might go into the movies, Don Hewitt did, but he eventually made it into the movies in The Insider. Which was the story about the whole tobacco industry controversy at 60 Minutes. Did Don Hewitt love the fact that he actually made it into the movies, Jeff?
I can actually. I hope you don't mind me jumping on that question because he hated it and he hated
yes.
that movie and he spoke about it at Columbia J School. He was very angry at Lowell Bergman, the producer who that story was based on.
All right, quick comment from Jeff Gralnick. Go ahead.
Yeah, Don loved everything he did. There wasn't a day he woke up that he didn't know it was going to be exciting, and there wasn't a day that ended with Don where he didn't know there was something else he could have done. He just hadn't figured it out yet. And I don't know who replaces the Don Hewitts. I don't know who replaces the Rune Orliges. I know that we're going through an era of the passing of the
right.
guard, and we're all poorer for it.
Well, I know that no one replaces Don Hewitt. Jeff Gralnick, a longtime television journalist, friend, and colleague of Don Hewitt at CBS, and Jacques Steinberg, New York Times reporter who covered the television beat for the New York Times. Thanks to both of you. Remembering Don Hewitt, who died yesterday at age 86. So let's take a look very quickly at some of today's top stories. Amy?
Voters are at the polls in Afghanistan. Violence, unfortunately, has shut down several polling stations. An investigation from our partner, the New York Times, reports that the CIA hired private contractor Blackwater for a secret program meant to capture and kill top al-Qaeda operatives. John?
More on health care from the Obama administration a little later today. And those are some of the top stories we'll be following this morning. Also, more on Afghanistan. As we've been reporting, the people in that country are voting in their presidential election. Can Karzai win, or will there be a runoff? We'll hear how it's going coming up next.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.